Do you have questions about your health? Do you need to find out what's keeping you from feeling your absolute best? If so, your intuition has guided you to the right place. I am Dr. Charlize, and welcome to the Art of Healing podcast community. In this podcast, we explore all topics in health and wellness, from Reiki to functional medicine, energy medicine, chakras, and meditation. Join me every week for fresh new episodes that highlight healers, various healing modalities, and use this as your opportunity to find what healing works best for you. If you want to learn more about me, simply Google at Dr. Charlize. Enjoy. Hello, Art of Listening podcast listeners. Thank you for joining me. This is Charlize, as always. We are continuing a very special series that I've been doing with a good friend of mine who is a health coach named Lisa Earhart. Lisa is joining me for some very special podcast episodes, and this is going to be one of four. You don't have to listen in order, but I just want to point this out to you that if you are listening now in whatever podcast station you're listening on, that you should see the other episodes as well go live. So Lisa is joining me today, and we're discussing self-love. Lisa is a longtime educator. She's expanded her passion from teaching children to helping adults become their best selves through personal growth and development. Lisa has received her training to become a health coach from the Institute of Integrated Nutrition. She specializes in helping busy men and women lose unwanted pounds and look and feel their best. She lives in Rhode Island with her husband, Michael, and her daughter, Sophia, and her beloved dog, Bella. She likes to keep active by practicing yoga, riding her bike, skiing, and taking walks. Lisa enjoys cooking meals for her family and friends and hanging out in her backyard. And she is the published author, of which I will make sure you get all of her information in the show notes of where to find her book. Lisa, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Charlize. I love our discussions. I enjoy being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So I thought that for this episode, we would get into a little bit deeper self-care versus mm-hmm. self-indulgence. That those are two different things. And Lisa, can you share with us how we can use our food to love our bodies? Let's start with that. So when we're trying to love ourselves, how does food mm-hmm. help us love ourselves?
Okay. So let's think about, you know, why we're eating. Go back to the main reason why we eat is to get energy. Energy so we can do the things we love, be with the people we love, have vibrant conversations, do activities that we want to engage in, you know, have healthy skin and hair, just to feel alive. And in order to do that, we need to, as you know, eat balanced meals, filled with, you know, fruits and vegetables, and take the right amount of supplements and drink enough water. I think we've known that for a while. We've always been told to eat this way, but there's more to it than that. As far as staying healthy, you can have eat all the fruits and vegetables and eat broccoli every day and still not be healthy and not feel your best if there's other things going on that are imbalanced in your life, such as if you're in a job that just drains you all day long and it's just sucking the life out of you, because that could cause you also to eat unconsciously and not grab all the good foods that you need to eat. Or it also can disrupt your digestion, because if you're sitting there and you're agitated, that you're going to eat food quickly, you're not going to chew it as thoroughly as you would if you were relaxed, and then you could get an upset stomach even if you're eating a healthier meal. So it's good to just realize you really have to, it's such an important part of what you're eating, but it's also how you're eating and that it could be, there's more to it than just eating, you know, healthy foods. Like I said, if there's an imbalance in your work or in a relationship, that can throw it off too. But I want to go back to your, you know, the self-love part you had talked about. You want me, you know, to elaborate on?
Yes.
That, yeah, there's a fine line between what self-love and self-indulgence, and to feel that guilt around that, you know, especially if you're, you know, many people rely on you for work or family members or even a pet, right? The fine line would be, I have to say, it's one word, and you have to be honest with yourself. It's intention. What's your intention behind your, you know, goal for taking care of yourself? Is it just to please yourself? And because if so, that's an empty bucket. That's never, you know, it just, you can never fill it up, right? You want more vacations, more alcohol, bigger car, bigger house, more material things. Yeah. Well, as you know, that just never gets full. It's temporary happiness, but if the intent is I'm going to take care of myself so that I can do my job to spread my energy and help others, then that's when self-care is working at full capacity. So you can take two scenarios. Let me give you an example. I like to get my nails done. I don't get them done a lot, but every so often before, you know, probably before like a wedding or a holiday, or just because I feel like it, special time. But I can go into a salon and I could sit down and get engaged in a conversation that just doesn't feed me. Maybe someone's gossiping near you and you're starting to hear they're complaining, or you're complaining with someone. Well, that time that was just carved out for you and having something special done for you now doesn't fill you in the way it should for self, you know, for being a self-care time. If you walk into the salon with a intention of, okay, I'm just going to be mindful that I'm getting my nails done for me, and I know that when I go to work tomorrow, I'm going to enjoy, you know, my new nails, and I'm going to feel relaxed at the salon. I'm not going to engage in any conversation that's going to drag my energy down. Then that's self-care. So going to the same place, but two different scenarios can really define if it's self-care or not. So really it's intention, your perspective. I know a lot of people are busy and they, you know, I hear this all the time, you know, busy moms, or, you know, even if you're caught between having children and taking care of your parents, or just taking care of anyone in your family who might need it at the time, right? You don't even have to be a mom to be so busy. I think people find themselves busy at all ages of their life. You can, even a simple taking a shower. Like I become obsessed with really nice soap. That's my latest obsession. And I will spend a couple extra dollars on natural soap, lavender. And I just love getting in the shower and I love the smell of the soap. And to me, that's like my 10 minutes of like, just me. And I'll tell you, I get all kinds of good ideas and problem solve my day because I'm relaxed. I'm looking forward to it versus just rushing in the shower, grabbing any soap that maybe have toxins in it. And then I'm rushing out the door and now my problems are not solved for my day. And now it becomes more stressful. So the big word for self-care, differentiating self-care indulging in taking care of yourself would be the intention behind it. So, you know, that mindset, that positive mindset, that thinking about why am I doing this?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me during this podcast episode. I just want to let you know, as a special gift to all my listeners, I am offering a promotion for a limited time. You can save 20% on all of my courses, on my online dispensary, and even 20% working with me individually in a 1-hour consult for functional medicine or with a Reiki healing session. You will use the code ALCHEMYHEALING when you make your purchase. Check your show notes to learn more. This special goes until June 3rd, so sign up today. Now let's return to the podcast. Lisa and I share a dear friend that I have been mildly cyberstalking. She knows who she is. Lisa just silently called her out. Mm-hmm. My dear, we are coming for you. We've been wanting to do some online work with her. We know who we're talking about.
Oh, yes.
We're going to get her because as far as natural soaps, nice scents, knowing what's going on in your body, nice, Lisa. I heard what you
great
did.
Yes, I love her candles too.
We'll get her. We're going to get
we
you.
We will, because Stacey, she is definitely we're talking about here.
What we're talking about. So we'll get you, Stacey. But and as you were saying that, Lisa, I was thinking about a pretty common interaction that I'll have when I'm working with my patients, and we have discovered a medical issue related to sugar, like diabetes. And we're having to face that we're going to have to give up something that's become a reward and has become something this person is really tied into emotionally, like sugar, like a sugar treat. And it's interesting, you mentioned other ways to indulge other senses. So can you speak to that? Because that's often, I mean, and I tell you, and it's no fun for me either when I'm working with a patient and I tell them it, cause they'll say, well, what is a safe amount of soda I can have? And this is going to get painful.
Zero.
Can you speak to that for me?
Yeah. Sugar definitely is one of, sugar and salts are, definitely, triggers for cravings. Absolutely. And, you know, we're battling it. It's all around us. And there's like 100 different ways of, names for sugar, you know, high fructose corn syrup, maple syrup, some honey. Those are better choices naturally, but there's so many different so many different names of sugar, and it, you know, that sweetness, obviously you crave your, you know, you, feel like, I think you just said as a reward.
And when people have learned to rely on this sugar,
food as a reward is, if there's another way, another reward, a reward you can give yourself besides food. A lot of times we use food as rewards. It's almost like in our culture, it's something that you may have related to as a child, you know, a piece of candy or a cake or whatnot. What works for some people I've worked with and for me is to break a habit with a habit. So choosing a better habit, because to say like cold turkey, you're not going to have, say it's ice cream after dinner is tough. It's tough for me. I struggle with that. Okay. Because it's right there in your face everywhere. Commercials, the groceries. I just went to the grocery store today. The people around me must've thought out, you know, what is this lady doing? Because I spent like 10 minutes on the aisle and I'm reading the back of all the ingredients of all the ice cream. And I'm like, you know, Lisa, it's all bad. You know, just pick one because it's just, you know, there's not going to be the super ice cream material, you know, food that all the, you know, if someone's going to pop out the freezer and say, this is the one for me. So, breaking a habit with a habit. Or decreasing it. So for instance, actually a friend had told me this, and I'm taking her up on this because I did buy the ice cream. I didn't buy as much. We always say, as long as you're eating well 80% of the time, and this is for the, you know, people you were just talking about who want, you know, want using sugar as a reward. Well, just instead of, I'm just using the ice cream scenario. So instead of having like 3 scoops of ice cream, and if you having just 1 scoop and vanilla, because I was looking at the ingredients today. The one I really wanted was, you know, the chocolate chips and the fudge and all that, but that's adding more calories. That's adding more sugar. And I know I want to taste good. So I did, I haven't had this yet, but I am going to try it. So 1 scoop of ice cream. Okay. And then instead of the chocolate chips that are sugary, just sprinkling some cinnamon on top. So instead of the habit of indulging in this hot fudge sundae, just a simple scoop and then putting some cinnamon on it, because that will still satisfy that because it's plain. And just, taking it from there. So instead of having a lot, having less of something that still you can get a reward for it. So changing a habit with a habit. Ultimately, it's great to grab a cup of herbal tea, but maybe you can work your way to that, breaking a habit with a habit. And we can talk more about, why that sugar craving is coming up. What are the other foods you're eating that may be causing that sugar craving? There could be other causes, but in general, just giving you the general scenario, a quick fix is breaking a habit with a habit. That's, you know, if it's a regular habit. Now, if it's just a craving, we all get them. If it's that chocolate you want, sometimes you have to go for the craving. But like I said, just having a small piece of a piece of chocolate versus a whole pan of brownies, just to get it out of your system, can work too. If it's a quick fix, if you know that, you know, this, it's not something that you always, it's not, you know, something that you always need. So giving it, knowing the difference. But if you're really trying to break that sugar habit, breaking a habit with a habit, and working from there is a good way to start.
Lisa, you just mentioned you were shopping for ice cream and you were checking out the labels on the ice cream. And yes. That leads me into my next question. And this might be a little bit harder, I know, to track, but how would you describe using self-love through nutrition, especially when you're reading those nutrition labels? I bring up quite a bit to my patients how you look at the labels on food. Granted, and we were, Lisa and I, for the listeners, right before we got on, we were talking about approaches, and, you know, I love her approach because of her background. Being that I'm a physician, when I'll describe like how you look in a nutrition label to patients, it's a painful conversation for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean it to be, it's probably just my background, but it gets real like crushing. So how would you describe how someone could start to look at labels and in thinking about how they want to nourish their bodies lovingly?
Yeah, because I'm noted to, you know, turn foods around. And I'm looking at the labels, certainly. So I've given up the fact I'm going to shop at a higher quality store. I am going to spend more money. So you have to let that go. You're going to spend a little bit more money on organic food, on better foods. So that I've already like made my decision when I walk into the market. If on the flip side, I'm conscious that I'm going to eat it all and I don't let it, I try my hardest not to let it go bad in the refrigerator because I know I've spent a little more on it. So I've already made up my mind that that's what's going on. And if I look at the ingredients and I can't pronounce them and they're not made from ingredients that I don't recognize, then I steer away from it. So I'm looking for the least amount of ingredients listed. And if they have ingredients that I can't pronounce, they're not good for you. Okay. So like another aisle that you'll see tons of, like this whole one aisle dedicated to potato chips, or it doesn't have to be potato chips, just chips in general. And you'll see one that says veggie chips and they're colorful. They're orange and green. You're like, oh, wow, I'm having my veggies. No, turn that over and you'll see, you know, 20 ingredients, half of them that you can't pronounce. And when the food, when you're eating that chip, it's disintegrating. So now it's all chemicals. Okay. And you know, if you continue and you look at actually a potato chip, not that I'm, you know, advocating potato chips, but if you look at that, there's only three ingredients and I recognize the ingredients, potato, there's some kind of oil and salt. That is a better choice than ingredients that you don't know. Buying local, I bought local eggs today from my state. I wanted them to be cage-free. I'm in Rhode Island. They're from Rhode Island. Local is better because the more that food is traveling to your market, the more preservatives that may need to be in it, or it's not as fresh. So I'm looking for, you know, more local foods. I mean, farm fresh is best. Going to a farmer's market is your better choice. And organic over conventional, especially, I've posted the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen list of foods on my social media platforms. You could actually Google it because it does change from year to year slightly. Those are foods that are, the Clean 15 are foods that have less pesticides or toxics, because that's also going to interrupt your eating habits. Even if it's a fresh fruit like peaches, I love peaches. They were on the top of the list. So, you know, if you can, as far as having, you know, pesticides on them. So it's better choice to, you know, to have something organic, you know, that choice would be, or if you can get it organic. I always go for organic grapes for that reason also. Yes, there are a couple more dollars, but I'm going to eat them all. I'm not going to let them go to waste. And they actually taste really good. I think there's a better taste than that. That's maybe it's just because I know it's feeding myself with, you know, I'm feeding myself nutritious foods, doing that's a form of self-love. Giving you know, having nutritious meals is a form of self-love because you're taking care of you. And we often overlook taking care of ourselves. We're so used to, you know, doing for others, especially women. And to take the time for you, even through foods, that has to be recognized. That is rewarding.
You mentioned that we're making these healthier nutrition choices, that we mm-hmm. will have to accept that we're going to spend more money when we're stocking our refrigerators and our cupboards. And yes. I just wanted to sort of back that up. And it's something for the listeners to think about, that if you're making the shift from like just grab and go fast food to a Whole Foods plant-based organic diet, mm-hmm. Yes, there definitely is cost. But I can affirm and confirm that if you don't make that change, you will spend that money. It's just where you spend it. So it's either going to be, as Lisa recommended, buying the organic grapes, which I know will cost more than the grape soda. But that price difference is still less than what it would take to buy one mm-hmm. pin of insulin. Mm-hmm. And if we were going to compare the cost and what Lisa's recommending is compared to like what I have to do in my everyday practice, we're talking the difference of hundreds of dollars, not even like a percentage. I mean, it percentage wise is thousands of percent more. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to affirm her advice that, you know, she said, we know this is going to cost more, but her recommendation is still going to be 1,000% less than what I would have to offer you if we don't think this way. It's a little scary, but
thanks for bringing that up. And you have the expertise in that area. So it's an investment in your health.
It's an investment. Mm-hmm. It really
pays off tenfold.
So, Lisa, we talked about cravings. We talked about self-indulgence. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to circle back, and just so we make it clear, is why is it not the same to feed our cravings as it is to love ourselves? Because you said that, you know, you like to get your nails done. This is a treat. You like to use a really fancy, high quality soap. That's a treat. Mm-hmm. So how is that different for me saying I want to treat myself to just fast food treat right now because I'm having a bad day and I need to improve my mood right now and I want to do it? How is that different?
Okay. So we talked about, you know, the intention. So this kind of ties into that. So I'm going to say another word and we're going to talk about this word. It's about getting curious. Okay. So when we're grabbing that fast food, just for that instant gratification or whatever it could be, even if it's not food, glass of wine. Well, wine is okay. So a glass of wine or something. It's, you know, getting curious about this craving. Okay. Especially if it's occurring, you know, often, and it's something that could be taking over, but something that you're not intentionally doing. Okay, so meaning that you're just wherever you're looking at quickly, you're going to go to. So this, having the curiosity around this craving, just stopping for a moment and just asking yourself, what am I longing for? What is this craving? Why is this feeling coming up? What am I actually longing for? Is it, what's my desire right now? Why do I want this food? What am I really desiring? Am I desiring to be happy? Do I want to achieve something that I haven't done yet? And now the magic word there is yet, because it does take time to get to a goal. And, you know, we all are in a society where we want things to happen overnight. So is it, you want to talk to someone you're attracted to? Do you want better friends? What is it you're longing for? So just building that curiosity and stopping for a moment and building that curiosity around that craving, because cravings tend not only to be from something you want to eat, but it's something, you know, emotional and that, you know, that trigger could be, you know, from a feeling. Is it anger? I know I've talked to people and I'm saying it's, you know, negative, but I know people who are happy eaters. They like to celebrate when, you know, they actually eat more unconsciously when they're happy. So it can go both ways, but the idea is just building your curiosity around it, because what this curiosity does is it decreases the power the craving has over you. See, it's empowering yourself. That, so now that you know, just taking a moment to stop and just asking yourself, or you can, you know, also have a food journal. So, you know, it can be documented and then just kind of really dive deep into what's going on. It will just slowly, you know, the craving won't just have this hold on you that it does. And once you train yourself, I mean, this habit, this, again, the good habits, right? Once this habit is developed, then you can start looking at, you know, this, what's really going on, and begin to take steps towards conquering it, whatever you want, you know, whatever area of your life that could be an imbalance. And we're all, you know, no one's walking around perfectly balanced. We're all kind of, you know, figuring it all out as we navigate through this our life journey. So just my, you know, I would say as a health coach, just like looking at it and saying, getting curious around it.
So Lisa, thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. And for the listeners, this is going to be one of a series of four, and definitely you'll want to keep in touch with us because Lisa and I are going to have even more special content coming up. Lisa is the author of I Just Lost 20 Pounds, A Permanent Weight Loss Solution. You can find her book now on Amazon. Lisa also has a website, and then she also has a special freebie if you'd like to tell us about, Lisa.
Sure. I, for your wonderful listeners here, Charlize will have the link below. It will be information on, it's kind of a little, like, I guess, cheat sheet from my book, really. It's just little tips on losing those, and I call them pesty pounds, those pounds that, you know, like looking at weight differently, looking at, you know, it's not just about heavy exercise and, depriving yourself of the foods that you love. It's more than that. So it's a quick look at easy ideas that you can incorporate into your life to lose those pesky pounds.
Perfect. So for the listeners, her freebie, I will put the link in the show notes as well as if you want to check us out on Instagram at Charlize at Healing Hearts. And I will link you to Lisa Earhart's information. But thank you so much, Lisa, for joining me. If you heard this podcast today, I suspect that probably you want to start making those positive changes. I downloaded the freebie myself, and that would be a nice little segue to start moving you in the right direction. I strongly encourage the listeners to have a look. So listeners, thank you all so much for joining us today. If you heard this podcast and you feel like it's something that could help someone you like or love, or don't like, whichever, share the Audio Healing Podcast. You can find me on social media, but just download that link and share it in your email. Just let folks know that we're here and we're giving out some good information. And you'll want to join us for next week for our next special episode. Thank you so much, listeners. And until next week, bye-bye. Thank you so much for joining during this episode of the Art of Healing podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a review. Also, you can check your show notes to find out how to get a copy of this and future episodes emailed directly to your inbox, available to listen to anytime. Finally, if you have questions or wish to connect to me, check your show notes to find out how we can get connected and find out how I can be of service to you.